Hey, what's up, everybody?
Love
this is the K-Thompson
Thompson Live Show.
What's happening, everybody? This is the K-Thompson Live Show. I'm the son, Eric, calling in. My mom is taking a little vacation. She might call in today, but, you know, I just had to call in. See, I was getting ready to go on a little road trip vacation towards the end of the summer myself, and was debating on whether we were going to be able to do the show tonight. I think we're able to find some time to do it before we prepare ourselves to get out of town. And also wanted to talk about, you know, Donald Trump. The news, I'd like to talk about some politics, everybody. And the news, got to excuse me as I'm trying to hook up some of the equipment here, but the news is Trumpy. Trumpian is appealing to the black people, talking directly to the African Americans by way of where he's at with the white Americans, or, you know, with his base. He goes to speak to his base, but sending a message out to the black peoples. And that's very nice of him, because as one of his surrogates said, that, you know, it's on the news, so, you know, black people watch the news, so Donald Trump can speak to him that way, as opposed to him actually going and talking to black people, you know, kind of like the way it's normally done. But we know that Trumpy has anything that, excuse me, everybody, I'm trying to hook up my equipment as I'm speaking to you, but we know that Trumpy hasn't done anything that's normal in terms of the political situation. So, I guess he's doing it his own way. And he asked black and Hispanic people, well, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? And that's a, you know what, that's actually a good question. What do you have to lose? Because every election comes down to certain presidential elections, but usually all elections come down to, at least United States general elections, the final one, comes down to a choice between two people. Some people might say the lesser of two evils, and usually that's the way a lot of people look at it, the lesser of two evils, who they can decide to trust, who they're willing to go with, who's not going to screw them the most, I guess some people, that's how some people look at it. So, you know, and for black people, I think traditionally, black people have always had to look at it that way for the most part. Who was the less of two evils? When you live in a society that, you know, at one time made a race of people slaves and then treated them like second-class citizens for the next several hundred years and still continues to do so, that group and other ethnic groups that are oppressed have to look at it as, look at these elections and look at this system as one of the lesser of two evils, because certainly if that wasn't the case and you had someone saying, hey, let's change this system of racism, let's change this system of prejudice, let's change this system of government that helps perpetuate treating one group of people lesser than another group of people, or other groups of people less than a certain group of people. And so I'm talking about the racist society in which we live in, the inherent racism in the United States. Of course, not everybody feels that way. Not everybody in the dominant culture that promoted racism and prejudice. Not everybody that is a part of that culture. When I say that, I mean, you know, white folks. Not all white folks are racist. Not all black people are, you know, anti-racist, I would suppose you could say that. So, but the thing is that in America, I felt that we've always had to look at what was going to be the lesser of two evils. Who was going to promote our issues? Who was going to promote the issues of you know, of your particular interest group, your ethnic group, the group that you represent? That's why people vote in blocks. You know, various communities, they vote for the interest that concern them. The Jewish community, obviously, the Muslim community, the Hispanic community. Everybody votes for issues that are important to them. You know, obviously immigration being important to probably a lot of Hispanic folks, you know, the whole deportation issue. But the thing is that you can't come to the table appealing to that old school racist system of America as Trump did, and then when it's time to go to the general election, you know, they say that you do things in the primary, traditional, those of you that are hardcore political heads and follow politics a lot, you know, the talking heads and the school of thought, the theory is that you do things in the primary, go a little bit harder and more extreme to your base, and then when you run for the general election, I'm talking about the presidency now, when in the general election, you come a little bit further to the middle, meaning you try to appeal to a broader cross-section of people. You've gotten your base behind you, and now you're presenting your argument to everybody else that might not be in your base or that might be open to seeing what you have to offer. So when you come to the table, when you initially run in that primary election, you're appealing mostly to your base, but the whole thing becomes how much are you willing to appeal to the very, I guess, kind of extreme portions of that base. You know, when Donald Trump first started his campaign, he said some very negative and derogatory things about Hispanic people, about Mexican people, about people who were coming across the border trying to find a better way of life. And then, of course, there are some people coming across the border to come into the country to do nefarious things. We know that's not lost on anybody. But to say, to approach it negatively and say all of these people are racist, and then the end of the sentence, I suppose some of them are nice too, it would seem to me that the argument should be the other way around, unless you're trying to rally the troops, unless you're trying to rally the troops that might be more extreme, that might feel, yeah, our country is getting taken over and overrun by all these illegal immigrants, and they're doing this and they're doing that. So then you're going to appeal to that base. Then your first words are, whoever you want to appeal to, right? So if the first thing an individual says is that a lot of them are rapists and killers, then that kind of pretty much tells you where he's coming from, right? That kind of knee-jerk reaction that you get out of people when they feel that they don't have a chance to talk and think, that reflex is oftentimes, I think, tells you really truly where someone's coming from. And so when Donald Trump's asked, what do you have to lose, black people? Excuse me, what do you have to lose, Hispanic people? Well, judging from what you said initially, judging from your reflex response, I would say a whole hell of a lot we have to lose. And people that don't live in the New York City area that aren't familiar with Donald Trump over the years as being a local billionaire, a rich person who's done things and has had a high profile being in the news for so many years, you know, they don't know that his involvement or his positions, you know, he makes his opinions known as a leader in the community, and obviously he's a leader, he's a businessman, and he's been able to be successful in what he's done. Some people have that up for debate. But so, you know, people listen to him if he has something to say and recognize someone for their success. And during the Central Park Jogger case in years ago in New York, a woman was raped and mugged brutally in Central Park, and they found rounded up these young men, young African-American, and I think a few Hispanic men, young guys, I guess teens, 20s, whatever, and basically railroaded these guys and got them convicted for this crime of this heinous crime that's perpetuated against this woman of raping and beating her. But come to find out that these guys were innocent, and they've been exonerated now. If you paid attention to the Central Park Five, you know that they've been let out of jail, and they've been exonerated now. But during that time, Donald Trump took out an ad, I think, in one of the local newspapers talking about, you know, giving his opinion about this case and what should happen to these guys. And it was very negative in terms of the image that people were presenting of young black and brown men. And so as was Rudy Giuliani, as was everybody that fucked these guys, committed this crime. And when you look back, anybody who knows, if you see a documentary about the Central Park Five, you really have to pay attention and you see how much they were kind of railroaded into confessing and doing these things and eventually getting convicted and spending a number of years in jail of their life taken away from them. Donald Trump was one of the community people, one of the citizens who made his opinion very well known about what he thought about those young men, that they should have the book thrown at them, so to speak. And this was known back when this happened, the Central Park jogger case, which I believe was in the late 80s, early 90s. And so, you know, Donald Trump, he knew where he was coming from. So now all these years later, I don't see, and then also you look at somebody's history. Let me backtrack. Then you look at how he felt about President Obama and the whole birther issue. He was going to hire somebody, come and he's going to hire detectives to go to Hawaii and get to the bottom and get his birth, the president's birth certificate, and see if he wasn't, to prove once and for all he was a citizen, not a citizen. Didn't think so. None of that ever came to fruition. None of that proof ever came out. Nothing ever came of that. That was a lot of hot air, but it was again jumping on that bandwagon that people were sounding, rather from the, I guess, the more extreme members of the Republican Party, the more extreme racist members of the Republican Party, as well as our society, that were trying to promote the argument that the president wasn't a citizen, that he was foreign, and Donald Trump giving a very loud boost to that and just coming out and saying and promoting that argument, which went nowhere. So these are his kind of knee-jerk reactions. These are his reflexes. And as I said, when he started his presidential campaign, he was appealing to many of these same extremist groups that are have some racist views and not wanting to appeal to the higher sense but promoting and whipping up kind of this crowd frenzy, as we've been watching over the last year of how his rallies have gone and things like that. So now, fast forward to the point now that your campaign is, you know, it's running into the ground, basically. Paul Manafort resigned the other day. Now he's got these other people that want him to soften his tone a little bit, I would suppose, or some of them say, let Trump be Trump. And so now he's reaching out and appealing to black and brown people. What do you got to lose? Want to make it safe so you don't walk through your neighborhood and get shot without getting shot, getting mugged? And it's almost like I expected to hear him say, want you to be able to walk through and visit your baby mamas and have a safe venue to go pick up your crack. You should be able to, I mean, you know, such a condescending pitch. And also to say that in front of an audience that, you know, is probably not black from what I understand and from what the news is saying, that you said that in a place where there were no black people. You weren't speaking to a black audience. And then when you had the opportunity to go speak to audiences of color, you decline on speaking to black people. So, you know, who is this really for? And some people suggest that it's for the suburban moms, so they don't feel bad. So, you know, because his language is off-putting and it's aggressive. So a lot of people don't want to feel bad. They don't want to vote, pitch themselves as someone who's voting for a racist. So what you do is soften. Donald Trump now has been advised to soften his tone, so these people feel better about voting for him. You know, so they feel better, so they don't have to say, yeah, I voted for Trump, and other people can say to them in their community, oh, he's such a racist. So kind of the strategy is to soften his language as it comes to black and brown people. So some of the people on the fence, the suburban white women, this demographic that they've been talking about, feels a little bit better about voting for Donald Trump, which is really kind of interesting, because just because someone softens their language doesn't mean they change their stance. Some people just are finding a way to vote for him, as opposed to those individuals who are more extreme, who say, I vote for him, I like the way he talks, and I like what he's thinking. I respect those individuals more than people are looking for a reason to vote for the guy. To say you like what he's talking about, you like the fact that he speaks the way he speaks to black and brown people, or get those people out of here that shouldn't be, say what you really mean. But the individuals that want to find a reason to make it okay for them to vote for them so they feel better about themselves is kind of fictitious to me a little bit, in my opinion. You know, it's like these people who were just trying to decide whether they would vote for him or not, whether they would support him or not. You know, the Paul Ryans of the world, so I wasn't there, and some of these other senators that initially were going to support him, but then they felt they couldn't when his rhetoric got too extreme and he started acting too crazy. I just wonder, when people say things like that, so what are you saying? What's acceptable to you? Is it acceptable to you that this guy says racist things, prejudicial things, and is derogatory against people with disabilities, against women? So those things are acceptable to you. So like I said, I think in last week's show, where would you draw the line? Where would you draw the line if when someone is saying certain negative things? So you're saying that, I guess some people are saying that his his stance against immigration, his hardcore stance that most of them are rapists and murderers, and people coming across the border. That's okay with you, right? But when he starts talking about really extreme, talking about the disabled person, maybe that's not okay with you. Or maybe when he talks about the disabled person, that's something that's acceptable to you. But when he starts talking about other Republicans, that's something that's not acceptable to you. So it's all about what someone's willing to accept, I suppose. It's all about your perspective. If you're willing to let your friend say some derogatory things about another group of people without kind of correcting them a little bit, or do you just laugh along with them? Because we all do that to a certain degree. Or do you kind of laugh but you also kind of correct them? Do you say, yeah, but you know that's not true. That's so bad of you. You know, some people do that. Some people laugh and they say, oh, we're being bad. So at least there's some perspective. There's some idea that, you know, even though we're engaging in this negative behavior, this kind of prejudicial or racial stereotyping of people, we are playing to our lower morals, our lesser values. And when Donald Trump says, what do you have to lose, black people? What do you have to lose? I would say a lot. I would say a lot. And I would also ask the people that are voting for him, I would put a question to the people that I meet that are voting for Donald Trump. Well, don't you feel kind of sold out a little bit? Don't you feel let down? I mean, here's this guy that was promoting these ideas that you were with 100%, and now he's kind of backtracking on them a little bit. Now he's changing his stance on them a little bit, which is what a lot of politicians do, because, you know, politics and government is about compromise, because there's a lot of us that live in this country, so not everybody's going to get everything they want. So when you coexist, when you have a nation that's united, that chooses to be together, chooses to be united, there's a certain amount of compromise that has to be made. That's inherent in government and politics and people trying to work in a society. It's inherent. That's compromise and trying to get along in a society that's civilized, at least. But to those people that were extreme and said that Donald Trump, that this candidate came out, and I'll say it both sides, people that were just like the people with Bernie at the Democratic convention, they weren't going with Bernie, and it was Hillary. If they couldn't vote for Bernie, they're going to vote for Donald Trump, which to me is crazy. But, you know, it's the two ends of the spectrum. So do you feel a little bit sold out by Donald Trump that he's changing his mind? Did people feel that Bernie was selling them out when he said when he decided to support Hillary, when it became clear that Hillary was clinching the nomination? I mean, some of them really were hurt. I was at the Democratic convention, so some of them were hurt. Some of them felt let down. But to be so hateful towards Hillary, to say that I'm going to vote for the other guy, the guy that is totally against you, even stuff that your candidate was saying, it's kind of working against yourself, I guess, to say, for lack of a better way of putting it. So, you know, I guess I'm saying that politics is a compromising, and people want to vote for an individual they think that's going to be all good for them and be in complete agreement with everything that they're saying. And then when they find out that person, well, they're softening their stance. Donald Trump now is softening his stance on immigration. He's willing to, he says at least, willing to talk to some people and soften the stance and see what they can do to work with people who've been living here that might not be citizens but have been productive members and positive members of society. He's willing to change his stance on that. So I wonder, those hardcore people who want all these illegal immigrants out of the country, I wonder how they feel, that they want people out regardless. I mean, you know, Donald Trump is a guy who, like you said, he's a negotiator. Everything is a negotiation. But in that, what is really at stake? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to trade away? You know, and that's why people get turned off, I think, to politics, because they get behind a candidate, and the candidate says these things, and they say, that's my person. I'm going with everything that person is saying. And, of course, as that person has to appeal to a larger and larger number of people as they become more successful, they might change their position, or they might expand their position or evolve on a position. And when does that let the people who are supporting the person, when do they drop out or they continue to go with the people? And a lot of Trump supporters are still supporting him, obviously, because he seems to be the one, regardless of what he said. You know, I watched on a news program the other night where these women in the Midwest were Trump supporters regardless. So although they didn't like some of the things he was saying, they didn't like the way he was speaking, they were hoping that he would change his tone a little bit, but they were still willing to vote for him. And that's their right, obviously, for the sake of the discussion. But, you know, when is enough enough? Senator Martin Kirk, a senator from Illinois, I believe, was supportive of Donald Trump. And he came out, ironically, he came out and kind of made his announcement, or it became news that he was supporting Donald Trump the day that Donald Trump was scheduled to do that rally in Chicago that never got off because people were pretty much rioting inside and outside the venue. That was the day that this Senator Mark Kirk decided to make it known that he was supportive of Donald Trump. This guy has since changed his mind two or three times and not supporting Trump, to supporting Colin Powell or asking people to write in Colin Powell or supporting someone else, or General Petraeus at one point. He wanted to vote for him or write him in. So I guess it became too much, some of Donald Trump's hateful rhetoric, even towards other Republicans, where this senator decided to not support him anymore. And ironically, the day that he decided to support him and come out was that day that that rally went south in Illinois. So it's all about, I guess, choice. What do you have to lose when you thank you very much.